celebrating 50 years of ministry, this is Breakthrough with Rod Parsley.
I want to bring us a message on the dichotomy, and it's a big word, I'll define it for you later, the dichotomy between law and grace. Are you excited about it? Shout, this we believe, because the Bible says so. Jerry Bridges is a great author. He wrote a book entitled The Pursuit of Holiness. Let me define my terms. Do you understand the term holiness? Do you understand that God is absolutely, perfectly powerful because God is absolutely, entirely, and perfectly holy? Holiness is the result of innocence tested and proven. Okay, I'm gonna try to save people. Holiness is not about your dress. It's not about if you were raised in a different section of the country where certain words are not swear words. That's not holiness. In fact, holiness has nothing to do with outward things. That is a religious rule and rudiment that needs to go back to hell where it came from. Because it's not based in God's word. Let's get back to my dear brother, Jerry Bridges. Now, I want to break down every line of this, and I cannot. So please listen with heart open. He said in his book, The Pursuit of Holiness, this: God has made provision. Who made it? God made provision for our holiness. You cannot make provision for your holiness. You were guilty, judged, sentenced, guilty. But God made provision for our holiness. How? Through Christ, he has delivered us from sin's reign so that we now can resist sin. Not so we can continue in our sin. So that we can resist sin. But, well, this is so powerful, so profound. But the responsibility for resisting sin is ours. He did not take that choice from you. There has been a divorce in the church. And I'm not talking about marriage. It is the divorce between law. Now, get this word for law: legalism. Legalism. Religious rules made by men. Or you can choose to live in grace, which you and most of the church has interpreted as freedom to live without restraint. I have a right, I can do what I want, and nobody telling me what to do. I show up when I want to, I'll do what I please, and I will gossip about anybody that tries to make me do otherwise. This is the meaning of dichotomy. It's very simple. A division between two contradictory idea. Paul said, I chose to know nothing among you save Christ and him crucified. He also said, I have made the choice at the tree to know no person according to anything they have done in their flesh. Boy, that just cut the legs out of 90% of the church. Well, yeah, but there's no yeah, but. Take it to the cross. The book, which is right and they are wrong, the book calls us to walk both in the grace of God and the standards or law of God. Too many believers take mindless, thoughtless refuge, as everybody in this culture does, to live on the razor edge of one extreme or the razor edge of the other. No middle ground. No room for compromise. No room for I hear you. I don't agree, but I value what you're saying. The sad result becomes this dichotomy or division between those believers who are living with complete license and sinful carnality, and on the other side, so-called believers living in the dusty death of religious regulations, and they believe they're Barney Fife. They got one bullet, but they're not allowed to carry it. Look, are you able to handle this? Because it's not surface. It's not. The responsibility for this spiritual, you know, disorientation is twofold. Number one, that world out there, that pleasure-addicted culture, has a magnetic pull upon our souls. It's constantly seeking to get a hold in your life. That's the reason God said, be strong, be of good courage. Woo. Number two, a lack of exactly what I'm doing today, orthodoxy and doctrine being taught to modern Christians. I wrote a book on this too. It's idolatry that creates a God, get this, who is conducive to whatever lifestyle you have chosen to live. Here's the way we live now as Christians. Just step right up to the Vanna White spinning wheel of grace and choose your own subjective truth and personal reality. Subjective. Not based on anything. How can you build a house without a foundation? John 17:17 answered that whole business for you. Jesus said, Father, sanctify them, set them apart, make them different by your truth. Your word is truth. Period. God's grace, at least the Bible version, is not an excuse to relinquish our responsibilities to God, to his kingdom, to our fellow believers, and to this world. In fact, it's quite the opposite. There is a delicate mystery. There is a fine balance, a narrow way, a chosen path, a highway to heaven forged and paved by grace. But it is not the path of pleasure seeking and self-indulgence. It's not the path. Nor, let me jump on the other razor blade, is it religious tyranny propped up by man-made rules. It is a boulevard of God's grace, informed of and protected by grace, informed of and by protected by the law of God. This issue is not only a dichotomous one involving enslavement by fleshly passion on one hand and the oppression of a million demanding laws and their so-called enforcement agents all around us in the church. The profound, the perplexing question is this, and it's for every one of us. Say, he's not talking to you. He's talking to me. I'm not talking to your wife, your kids, your brother, your mother-in-law. I'm talking to you. Who have and will you choose to make your master? Who will you choose to be bound to? Well, what a paradox that is, right? Because who among us could ever imagine willingly choosing bondage of any type, kind, or sort? Given the opportunity, human persons will not choose bondage. And that is precisely the problem. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me, and the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me. We used to sing an old song, say, can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can't nobody love you like Jesus. Not you, not your mama. I didn't come to preach a sermon today. I came to change lives today. Any person who emphasizes entitlement, I have a right, it's nobody's business. Those who emphasize entitlement have no interest in heaven and no fear of hell and certainly no revelation of the cross of Jesus Christ. Because for them, any message, you know, where they'd have to face any opposition, oh my God. Where they would ever have to face actually doing hard work. Ah! They have an allergy. Any mention of, come on out on Sunday night. Come on out to prayer on Monday night. Come on, let's go witness our faith. Any mention of self-sacrifice or servanthood, you mean I'm not going to get paid? Has no appeal to such, air quote, believers. Because, after all, they already deserve everything. They are entitled to everything, and by the way, at zero cost to them. I'm convinced, y'all, I really am, that no person who understands the price of their salvation paid by Jesus Christ would ever spend one second attempting to figure out how they can offer as little to God as possible and still make it to heaven. Rather than asking what they should be asking, how close to this cursed culture is what they ask. Can I get and still make it to heaven? We should be knelt at the base of that bloody cross and pleading how close to Jesus can I possibly get and remain on this blue marble planet? Once you've been touched by the life-transforming grace of Jesus Christ, your search for the meaning of life has found its fulfillment in a sacrifice crucified on a tree outside of Jerusalem. We were all the walking dead, sentenced to eternity, separated from God in a flaming prison called hell. And after your last vestige of hope had taken wings and flown away, the living Savior became the dying Christ, and the dying Christ became the resurrected Lord, and he alone can set you free from an eternal sentence of indescribable suffering and torment. This is the pearl of great price. This is the end of your search. This is the true secret, the ultimate gift, and unplumbed depths of God's glorious grace. May we fall so in love with Jesus, become so eternally thankful for his cross, that we become completely surrendered to him, so that any slight claim that he might place upon our lives is welcomed with open and thankful hearts. Only after we love his cross will we become joyful travelers on the road leading to divine purposes and the freedom of God's grace and the protection of his law. Stand with me. Alas, and did my Savior bleed? And did my sovereign die? That the question is asked, would he devote that sacred hit for such a worm as I? Was it for crimes that I had done? Jesus groaned upon the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, divine love beyond degree. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I'm happy all the day. Isaac Watts penned that poem after having a revelation of the cross of Jesus Christ. Every head bowed, every eye closed. This entire message can be summed up by one simple but profound word: surrender. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. Well, we are certainly grateful, thankful for the marvelous grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And by the way, if you opened up your heart and received Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, in just a moment, there'll be a number on your screen. I want you to call that number and ask for my free gift to you. You sure won't want to miss out on that. And Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 10, the incomparable apostle describes the directives that the Lord Jesus gave to his disciples. Now, there are many, many points, but I want to highlight two in particular. Near the end of the chapter, he encouraged them all that God is aware of everything we're going through when we're going through it. In fact, we have absolute assurance that our God knows the very number of the hair on our heads and provides even for the lowly sparrow. Then in verse number 8, master teacher taught us to care for the sick, to make sure we had great compassion for those who were afflicted and the dying. Because freely we have received, he said, now freely give. At this very moment in human history, millions who live in the Horn of Africa are starving. Starving really barely describes this life-threatening crisis. In one refugee camp alone, 13 children are perishing every 24 hours. Did you hear me? In North Darfur, Sudan, at least one child perishes from starvation every 2 hours. Listen, we must rescue, and we can rescue, these desperate, precious little ones before it's forever too late. Our Bridge of Hope partners are on the ground right now in the hot spots of hunger. That's why I've already promised them at least 150,000 meals. We can do that through our new $50,000 Save Them Matching Challenge. Won't you help save them? I'm stepping out in faith, trusting you will respond, and you'll do it quickly and double the impact of your Bridge of Hope gift. Rather than helping one dying child, you'll be helping 16 children. 16 will live and not die because you gave a gift of only $48, $96, and you can become a lifesaver, helping me feed 32 children. Other organizations have run out of food, and that's why it's so very, very vital that you prayerfully consider how you can help me today feed these suffering children. Now, this matching challenge will come to an end on June 1st, just a few days from right now. The hunger crisis in South Sudan, Ethiopia, Somalia is killing precious children, destroying any hope for their future. Give hope. Give life. Do it right now. Simply call that number on your screen. It's there around the clock, because we have to help them now. Or you can simply click on rodparsley.com, or you can rush your letter in the mail to me, but write that letter today and include your prayer request. I want to thank you on their behalf for your tremendous heart of compassion for those in such tragedy. With your gift today, you are lending to the Lord, and he promised he will repay your generosity for helping his hungry children. So don't hesitate. Do the best you can today. You'll feel so good in your heart for doing it. Call now. I'm believing you will.
Millions are starving, and your generous gift to Bridge of Hope can help save them. Mothers and children in Sudan, South Sudan, Ethiopia, and Somalia can be rescued from widespread famine because of our partners on the ground in hot spots of hunger. Many organizations have run out of food, but you can rush food and emergency aid to the desperate and dying. Because of the $50,000 Save Them Matching Challenge Fund, your gift doubles in impact to save lives. $48 or more will help feed 16 children and help Bridge of Hope meet its goal of 150,000 meals. Please pray how you can help. A gift of $96 will help feed 32 children and minister God's love to them. Let's save lives together. Call day or night. Click on rodparsley.com or rush your letter today. This limited time matching challenge ends on June 1st. Remember the Lord's command, as you have done it for the least of these, you have done it for me. Thank you for your rapid response. Please call right away.
I wish to thank you and bless you for your generous support of the missions outreach of Bridge of Hope. It's so vital to mothers, to children across America and around the world. I've received a heartbreaking report concerning one such mother. She struggled with all her might to keep her children alive while drought robbed her and her family of all their crops and all their livestock. Her children right now are very, very hungry. She's exacerbated. She's fearful for her infant daughter. She doesn't want her to die of starvation, and I know you don't. So for the sake of desperate moms and their hungry babies, please don't wait. Don't hesitate. Let's save lives together. Let's do it today. You can call right now, day or night, and ask a compassionate friend to join with you in this Christ-like mission of mercy. I'm so very blessed to know you care for the hungry and you love the hopeless. Keep praying for them now. We must pray, and join me next time on Your Breakthrough.
This is the summer your life changes forever. Valor Christian College Summer Internship, June 17th through July 12th.
Experience a generational anointing with impartation from Dr. Rod Parsley and hands-on application with business and ministry leaders in media, event planning, outreach, production, finance, music, and beyond.
All culminating with Dominion Camp Meeting. Pastors, immerse your staff in free training.
Prospective students encounter the spirit-charged atmosphere on the campus of the School of Revival, creating lasting memories and lifelong friendships.
Registration plus room and board are free, but you must be 18 years or older to apply. Lives will be changed.
Future secured.
Destinies altered.
At Valor Christian College Summer Internship, June 17th through July 12th.
Spots are filling up fast, so register today at theevent.vip.